Isaiah chapter 46. A lot of times as you're reading through your Bible, you might skip over some of these chapters. You read them and you think, sometimes we're tempted to think, well, there's not much in there for me. And the truth is, Isaiah chapter 46 only has 13 verses in it. You can really scream through it. But you know, if you read it and you listen to the heart of God, you really can. We, both of us, all of us, we can learn something if we really listen to the heart of God. For instance, now remember, God has told us already that he's going to call a man named Cyrus. Now, he called him by name, but Cyrus will not show up on the scene for another 200 years. Now, that is impressive. He is God. He is Almighty. He knows everything. He knows all about you. You take the woman at the well in John. Gospel of John, chapter 4. That woman at the well, who she came down really just to get water. And Jesus began a conversation with her that led to her salvation. And he knew all about her. Maybe if you had been with him, you wouldn't have even spoken to her, because she had a problem with men. She had interpersonal relationships problems. She would probably need to really spend a lot of time in psychoanalysts or a psychiatrist's office. She would really need some help. See, she had been married 5 times, and she was living with a man now that wasn't her husband. And Jesus knew it. Not approved of it. He didn't approve of it, but he talked to her. He said, "You know something? Go get your husband." She said, I don't have a husband." He said, "You certainly have said the truth there. You've had 5 husbands, and the man you're with now is not your husband." Immediately, she understood there's no reason to play games with this man. You're not going to win this one. Remember, didn't God say that in Isaiah? When you read through chapters 44 and 45, don't you remember God saying, "I know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm doing." I had mentioned to you before that the dice that God uses are loaded. Now, it doesn't mean he cheats. It doesn't mean that they're going to fall the way he wants them to. What it means is every time the dice are thrown, if you think you're going to win this one, he already knows what numbers they're going to land on. You're not going to win this one with him if you think you're going to get around listening to him. Now, we begin chapter 46 by reading this. Bel boweth down. Nebo stoops. Their idols were upon the beasts and upon the cattle. Your carriages were heavy laden. They are a burden to the weary beast. Right away. Remember, he had talked about idols, false gods. Now, he lists 2 of them by name. The god Bel was a god of the Babylonians. And Bel was another name. They called him Bel. But the name that you may recognize him by would be, you pronounce it Marduk or Marduk, in case you recognize that name. He was the god of the sun. Not really, but that's who they worship. Marduk, the god of the sun. And his son, his child, was named Nebo. A speaker or a prophet is what it means. He was the son of Marduk. And Nebo was considered the god of learning, and the god of writing, and the god of astronomy. So you have Bel, or Marduk, the god of the sun. And you have his child, his offspring, his son's name's Nebo, who was the god of learning. God, our Lord God, mentions 2 false gods, and he says, they stoop, their idols were upon the beasts. You know, the people carved out of precious metals and materials these gods, and they were very heavy to carry. And when Babylon was destroyed, attacked and destroyed by the Medo-Persians, by the Medo-Persian Empire, you need to know that these gods, Merodach or Bel and Nebo, they had to, the priests or the people had to take them and carry them on their shoulders and get them to a cart, and they were very heavy, and try to take them away. But they were too heavy, and so they were captured. These false gods were captured. How would you feel if you your village was being overrun and you had to run and grab your god, and he's just this heaviest thing? It takes two or three of you to get him onto a cart, and you got to try to pull him away, but you can't get away. Your god's too heavy. How would you feel? They captured your god and you along with him. What kind of god do you have that's so heavy he can't move by himself? He says they stoop. They bow down together. They could not deliver the burden, but themselves are gone into captivity. Now listen, he is predicting, this is a prophecy. When Babylon is destroyed, the people are going to try to run away with these heavy gods, but it's going to cause them to be captured as well because the gods are too heavy. You can't move them too fast. Hearken unto me, he says, O house of Jacob. Now this is a cry to the house of Jacob, but it's also a call to you. Now, you and I, are you a Christian? Sort of. I don't get into all this stuff. You know, I remember my mother who, when I told her I was going to accept a position in the ministry. Now, of course, what business did I have? She knew I had no business in the ministry. And so when I told her that, she just said to me, she said, well, don't let religion get over your head. Now, I don't know what that means, except I think she was trying to say, don't get weird and embarrass us. Because everybody that's religious is an embarrassment to their family, aren't they? You always want to read the Bible. Sometimes you carry it in your car. I know one guy carries it on his, like in a holster. It's kind of cool. He just grabs it and then snaps it and there's his Bible. And people say, oh, Lord. You've let it get over your head. You've become fanatical. God says this, Christian. He says, listen to me. If you're here tonight and you are not a believer, all you have to do before we're finished or at some time is just say, I want Jesus. And ask him into your heart. You know you're a sinner. And you know that there is nobody who can explain it away. And there's nobody who's going to take the load of that heavy load off of you. There is no kind of counseling. There is no magician. There is no New Age phenomena that is going to lift it off of you. But Jesus Christ said, you come to me. And I will set you free. And when the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Now there is peace, there is joy, and there is a walk with the Lord. And he says, you listen to me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born, that means carried, by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb. Even to your old age, I am he. And even to your gray hair will I carry you. I have made you. I will hold you up. I will carry and will deliver you. Now there is a contrast. Don't miss the contrast. The people who have false gods have to carry their gods. We got to run. Grab that god. Grab Bel. Grab Merodach. Grab Nebo. Just get them out of here. Too heavy, man. Help me. The enemy's coming in. Put them on. Leave that stupid god. Let's get out of here. But a contrast is God says, but you listen to me. You that are mine, you don't have to carry me. I carry you. What god are you carrying around with you? You ever wonder? Are you guilty of carrying around a false god of your own and you get worn out from this religious stuff. You ever thought about that when you read through something simple like this? What God are you carrying? You know, the false gods, they have to be carried to their resting place, and they can't even move themselves from those places. Wherever you stick that god of the sun, that's where that god's got to stay. So you pick him up and put him someplace else. He couldn't roll someplace by himself. He couldn't even see someplace else. You have to do it. Your false gods, you have to take them with you. You have to shove them around. You got to put them in their spot in the house. Because they can't even get there on their own. They are powerless. They can't see. They can't hear. But you're still wanting to carry them around with you. How come? Some people, they carry around the god of church. You carry that one? That's a heavy one, isn't it? That's a heavy god to have to carry around. Oh, man, church, God. Oh, we got to lift it up, put it on our shoulders. It's Friday night. I just wanted to relax. That's, you know, I'm tired. I've been going all day. I don't need this. All right, he's going to say something out of the Bible. I could read it at home. But if I don't go, people are going to think. Hey, people are already thinking. If I don't go, I don't know. The Bible says I'm supposed to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. I don't want to be called some by people. You know what, man? You are carrying around a false god, and it is heavy, isn't it? It is, isn't it? Go to church. I got to go to church, you know, because if I don't, the gods will be angry. And he won't bless my crops. I'm trying to grow tomatoes. It's not going to rain on my property. I got to go to church. Monday, Friday, I sign up for some stinking class Tuesday and Thursday. Sunday morning, now they want me at some meeting Saturday. If I don't go, you know something? You're carrying around a heavy god who can't help you or do anything for you. You're just carrying the weight of a god that is false. Because you see, when you love the Lord, you say it with the psalmist, I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. I was glad. Come and let us go to the mountain of God. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. And the law shall go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Let's go. Come and let us go. You see, there's a difference between serving the living God and carrying around the God of church. And people do carry that. God loves a cheerful giver. When you give your life, you ought to be happy to give it. But he says here, they carry their gods around. How about the God? Do you have the God of rules and regulations? That's a pretty heavy God to tote around too, isn't it? Man, I got to do this. I have to do this. I can't do that. We aren't allowed to own those. Because if I do that, or own one of those, or have this, the gods will be displeased, won't they? Is that how you're walking? Because if that's how you're walking, that is a heavy load to bear, isn't it? It's just, you're slumped over and it's just, my goodness. How about the god of false lifestyle? Man, that one's heavy. We all know a little bit of that kind of weight, don't we? People say, I have to stay with my wife. It's what God wants me to do. And that statement right there tells you that's not what they want to do, doesn't it? It's that God of the false. I've got to. And what a false God to have to carry with you. I have to stay with my husband. I won't love him. I won't love my wife. We won't get along. We'll just stay because that's what God wants. It's that false God. And isn't that a heavy thing to carry? Your shoulders are slumped over. You're miserable. And you are carrying a false God that's not going to do anything for you at all. Not going to. No, it can't see. Wherever you are, if you set it down for a while, there it is. You got to move it when you go. I have to act like things are okay, see, or the gods will be angry with me. Do you see how easy it is to carry around with you a false god? But on the contrary, God says this. He says, "You listen to me, house of Jacob. And all the remnant of the house of Israel, which have been born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb, even to your old age, I am he. Even to your gray hair will I carry you. I have made and I will bear or hold up and will carry and will deliver you." Now, there is something that ought to take the weight off. Aren't you tired of carrying around these false gods? And God is mocking them. He says, yeah, even the big ones, even the sun god, and even the god of learning and writing. Oh, yeah, those are great. But you've got to carry them around. And because you're going to try to be carrying these heavy things, you are going to be captured. You're going to get in trouble. You're going to be in something you shouldn't be into. Drop them. Leave them alone. Let them go. Be free. Fly. I remember someone giving an illustration once after talking about Jesus dying, and they said simply this: "You're just like a bird in a cage. And Jesus Christ paid the price and has opened the door. Now you got a choice to make. You can sit there and swing and flit around from little things and pull on the ropes and do little loops in the rings, or you can fly free because the door's open. What are you doing? Eating food off the bottom of the cage where everything else is? And calling that freedom because you can fly from that side of the cage to that side of the cage? Or do you recognize the door is open and you can now go and fly free?" I like what he says. He says he's going to take care of you from the womb to the tomb. Didn't he say that? And you say, "Well, my life's been a mess so far." Well, if it has, wouldn't this be a great time to give it up to him? Wouldn't it make sense if it's been miserable for the last 2 years or 20 years or 30 years that you would finally just give up and lay yourself at the feet of Jesus Christ, at the cross right there? Wouldn't that be cool? Or you can pick the God up after we're through with communion, carry it right on out, be burdened in the car. Be weighed down at home. Be weighed down all through the week and carry it around. Because, see, you're free to do that. But the cage has been, the door has been wide open for you. And at any moment, any one of us in Jesus Christ is free to fly. He says, from the time of conception. Now think about this, everybody. From the time of conception to the time of old age to when you die, God watches over his people. And not only that, but he says, and he carries them. And the final part, rescues them from trouble. I would really rather have, I want my life to change so that I have the freedom to say, God's carrying me and he will rescue me, instead of having to carry those false gods around who can do nothing but wear you down and wear you out. You say, I'd like to dump the gods I've been carrying. I don't even mean to be carrying. You know how easy it is. It's as easy as turning to the Lord your God right before you take communion and say, "Lord, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my life." You say, "Well, I've already done that." Well, why don't you do it again and give it all this time? and just give it up and turn it over and say, here it is, every bit of it. Everything I got, everything I'll ever have, everything I think, whatever. I'm just going to do what you say. Fill me with your Spirit and give me the strength to do it. And he says, to your old age, I am he. Even to the gray hair will I carry you. I have made, I will uphold, I will carry, and will deliver you. And then, of course, verse 5, who will you liken me to? Now, if you were going to make an image of God Almighty, how would you? What shape would you put it in? Who can you liken God to? Oh, you've seen a few movies and you've seen artists' renditions, but who would you liken him? How would you make him to look? Have you ever thought about it? If someone handed you a chisel and a hammer and gave you a big piece of rock, marble, whatever, and said, carve out everything that doesn't look like God, so that when it's left, what you got is God there. What would you do? I think you'd set the hammer down and the chisel and say, I have no idea. He is so big, I do not even understand. I wouldn't know how to start. I can't explain him to you. He's too big. Well, here, take a pencil and draw out what you think he looks like. I couldn't possibly. I have no idea what he must look like. He's too big. And he has promised that he would carry you from the day you were conceived all the way. And remember, those of you that say, I am a Christian, not only is he going to carry you and protect you and do for you from the day you're conceived, but that will be now all the way through eternity, which never ends. Now, if you've got that kind of God who loves you that much, you really don't have to worry about too much. Really. You really don't have to fret as you do. Because he has said, I'm right here. You call upon me, and I'll show you great and mighty things, things that you never knew. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, and they are thoughts for good, not for evil. To give you an expected end, plans, purposes. He's got ideas for you. He loves you. He has got a great plan if you want to turn it over to him now. But he loves you, and he's created you with a free will so you can carry the gods that you want to carry that are false. He just warns you that it leads to suffering and to destruction. To whom will you liken me and make me equal and compare me that we may be alike? He says that, you know, they lavish gold out of the bag, verse 6. They weigh silver in the balance and they hire a goldsmith and he makes it a god. And they fall down, yeah, and they worship that thing that's made out of wood or brass or gold. You know, it's a nice little item covered in gold, makes it very, very worthful. Or I won't say worthless. Makes it worth a lot because it's covered with gold. Now, if you could grab it, steal it, run away with their god, melt it down, you could make a lot of money. But who wants a god that someone else could break in and take? Whoa. They bear him, or they carry him on their shoulders. They carry him. They set him in place, in his place, and he stays there. What kind of God is that? He's heavy, yeah. You take him and you put him where you want him, at the altar in your living room or in your bedroom or there in the garage, wherever you want your God, out in the backyard in a shrine, and you set him there, but he can't go anywhere else unless you take him. What kind of God is that? He says, from his place shall he not remove. Yea, one shall carry unto him, cry unto him, yet he cannot answer, nor can he save him out of his troubles. God says, you want false gods? That's what they're all about. They can't see. They can't hear. You can fall down and worship before that God and cry out and ask him for a job. Ask him for you can ask him for anything you want. He hadn't got ears. You could carve them in if you want. He's still not going to hear. because he's fake, he's not real. But there is a God in heaven who hears the cry of the righteous. How do I become righteous? I'm not very good. Jesus Christ is the righteous one. And he died on the cross at Calvary. And he rose again on the third day, just as the scripture said he would. And he is alive. And anyone who comes to him, they are completely forgiven, washed in the blood. And the righteousness of Jesus Christ is placed upon them. You are robed in the righteousness of God himself. And then God says, he hears the cry of the righteous. He even bends down low to hear them. He stoops to listen to you, because sometimes you're so weak you can't cry out. And he says he stoops to listen to you. Yes, he says, you heard not. Verse 8, you knew not. Yea, from that time that thine ear was not open, for I knew that you would deal very treacherously and was called a transgressor from the womb. For my name's sake will I defer my anger? He says to his people, to those who say, I'm his. He says, you've walked away from me. You're disobedient to me. You're not listening to me. But for my name's sake will I defer my anger, and for my praise I will refrain from thee, that I cut thee not off. I will keep my promise. I won't destroy you. And his people did get into idolatry, remember? You notice something that's cool about the nation of Israel. After they were freed from the Babylonian captivity, they never again went into idolatry. It only took 70 years of brutal punishment. But since then, the Israelites have never gone back as a whole to idolatry. You and I spend years worshiping false things. And God finally, through whatever he has allowed in your life, finally has gotten your attention. You come to the Lord. You will see a change. You will see a difference in your own heart. It may be a slow growth. Probably for everybody around you, that's what they'll think. Man, come on, get with it. But it's all right. You walk. You see, when you're born again, you crawl before you walk, and you walk before you run. But you'll grow. You stick with the Lord, you'll grow. God says this, behold, I have refined you, but not with silver. I have chosen you in the furnace of affliction. We sing a song, Refiner's Fire. Now that's a very nice thought. Refiner's Fire. My heart's one desires to be holy. I choose to be holy, set apart for you. And when the refiner puts the silver and the gold in the fire, we've talked about this, it is melted, that's hot. And the impurities rise to the surface and they are scraped off, and the fire continues on. And it continues until it is pure. And he knows when the heat needs to be turned off, when he looks at the silver or the gold and sees his reflection perfectly in it. Till then the fire does not come off. And what you're saying is, you're the refiner. So let your fire burn me until I am so pure that when you look, you see a perfect reflection of yourself. Now, the next time we sing it, you might not have seen the words. You might go, my heart wants. Now that you know what you're saying, God says, I have refined you not with silver. I have chosen you in the furnace of affliction. For my own sake, even for my own sake, will I do it. For how should my name be polluted? And I will not give my glory to another. Notice God refuses to even look at the other gods. He says, no, they're not real. There is none other. I and I alone am God. And I will not share my glory with anyone. Hearken unto me, says it again, second time. Listen to me, O Jacob and Israel, my called. I am he. I am the first. I am also the last. Who do you think speaking? You think about it. Go read the book of Revelation near the end and tell me. My hand also hath laid the foundation of the earth. Wait, I went the wrong way. Excuse me, I got ahead of myself. I turned up there. Let me go back. Were you guys lost? Oh, good. Man, I'm going, this is cool. Never mind. It's a good one. Keep that tape. We'll have to do it again. All right, remember this. Excuse me. That's why we go back to carrying false gods. Man, I was just going to get in some heavy stuff here. You guys are lucky. Remember this and show yourselves to be men. Whoa. Bring it again to mind, O ye transgressors, trying to carry your false gods. Remember the former things of old. Stop and think about what he has done, all that he has done for his people, for maybe for you. Are you a Christian? What has he done for you over the last 3 months, 2 months, 30 years, however long you've been saved? Remember the former things of old. For I am God. There is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. I got some verses. Don't let me skip these verses here. Declaring the end from the beginning. Now he's showing you, again, we have a choice. We can carry the gods that we brought in today. We can carry them back out. But he says to you now, he says this, remember the former things of old, for I am God. And there is none like none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done. Saying this, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. I'm God. I'm the one who calls it to be. You take a look at what he's done for Israel. When he led them out of captivity from Egypt, remember? Moses led the people, yes, but it was God who took the people out of captivity, led them through the wilderness 40 years. Miracles took place during those 40 years. There was a rock that followed them, remember, and they were getting water. There was food that came down from the heavens, from heaven. Daily, they had their food. Their shoes didn't wear out. Remember all the things that he did for them. And he says, remember the former things of old. Think about it. Now, those of you that have been saved a little while, think about what has he done for me that I should now start to stray a little bit, because that's what his people were doing. Remember the former things. I'm God. There is none else. I am God. There is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning. If you'd like to know how the world will end, the Bible clearly states it. Even though people don't believe it. The Bible clearly says, he has told you the end from the beginning. You know what's coming. Man, you may not know the exact day or the timeline, but you already know what's coming. And the reason that you know what's coming, those of you that are born again, is because God has revealed it to you as you've been reading through his word. He has shown you. He shows his servants what he's going to do. He says, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executes my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. He's decided it. It's as good as done. Hearken unto me, he says again, you stout-hearted that are far from righteousness. I bring near my righteousness. You hear that? I bring near my righteousness. It shall not be far off, and my salvation shall not tarry, and I will place salvation in Zion for Israel my glory. Keep in mind, as we read through Romans, as you read through Romans, God is not finished with the nation of Israel. Those are his chosen people. Here, he gives a call to those that are his, and he says, listen to me. Don't serve or worship the false gods. They're too heavy for you to carry. They cannot do you any good. They will do you harm. And you ask this question before we share this communion. What gods am I carrying? Am I guilty of carrying any gods? We need to know that about ourselves. What am I carrying? John chapter 14, verse 15. Probably you have it memorized. If you don't, you ought to memorize this verse. Jesus speaking before he is betrayed. He says this: "If you love me, keep my commandments." Now you have to determine, all of us have to determine in our own hearts, did he really mean that? Did he really mean that? Or is he just saying those kinds of things for his disciples to think about? And if he really means, should we obey him, did he mean in all areas, or did he just mean in the areas that we're comfortable with? He says in John 15, verses 9 and 10, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. So you continue in my love." You keep going in that. "If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love." How do you continue in God's love? How do we continue in the love of Jesus Christ? "If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love." That's how we do it. We want to obey him. We don't do it because we have to. We don't carry false gods. "Well, I guess it's time to do this now. I better. People will be upset. People will talk." No, no, no. No, he says this: "You continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." See, God loved his Son. Jesus came to this earth, and the Bible tells us he was obedient to his Father. But I'm telling you, he still had a free will. He had a choice, and he chose to do his Father's will. And you say, "Yeah, but it was easier for him. He didn't have my job." Right? He didn't have to put up in his life with what I have to put up with in mine. You're right. He has never had it that easy. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He was hated. He was despised. He was abused. He was left alone just when he needed friends. One of his closest didn't just get on his nerves and fight with him for years, but betrayed him. Turned him over to be executed. And when he was turned over, everybody ran away to save themselves. So he understands what it's like to get your feelings hurt. He understands what it's like to every day have to go through the same thing. He did not know where he would sleep. When everybody went to their home after he fed the 5,000, he sent all of them home. He went out and slept in the dirt. He didn't have a place to lay his head. He did have it pretty rough. You say, he chose to do that. Yes, he did. In obedience to the Father's will. And so you and I have a choice to make too, then, don't we? Not because the gods will be angry if we don't, but because it will bring glory to our King. John 10:27, Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. That's what we want to do. And once again, it is not too late for you. It's never too late for you, never. You say, "But I'm the biggest mess going." It is not too late. Jesus Christ died for your sins. He gave his life for these very things, that you might be set free out of that cage, that the door would be open and you could fly free to live a life of glory and honor to the King in peace and in joy. Not being frustrated and stressed out to the max over every day of your life, scared to death to step out of the front door, afraid to open your mouth, afraid people. Now, what a way to live. But to be living as the salt and the light, just as Jesus called us to do. If you're carrying any of those false gods, they are heavy and you don't really need them anymore. So I think you should just throw them away and walk in Jesus Christ in obedience. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Let's bow our heads together.